My dearly beloved, it used to seem a bit out of the proper order to me that we would have on a Sunday of Lent a season for fasting, for mortification, for penance, sorrow for sin, that we would have on the second Sunday of Lent this wonderful gospel story of the transfiguration of our Lord. It is a glorious event in the life of our Lord, a certain foretaste of heaven to the three chosen apostles who witnessed it. And it would seem at first glance to fit more appropriately as a gospel for one of the Sundays during the Easter season. Why then is this wonderful gospel of the transfiguration of our Lord read on a Sunday of Lent? Well, with each passing year, it seems to me more fitting to be read during Lent. And I would like to give you three reasons why. The first, perhaps most obvious reason, is that in the mind of Holy Mother Church, the 40-day fast is very important. And the fact that our Lenten penance is a 40 days duration. The number 40 was sanctified by our Lord Himself. And also by the two individuals who appeared with our Lord on the mountain in the Transfiguration, Moses and Elias. Moses representing the law from God to the chosen people, Elias representing the prophets. Those two individuals also fasted for 40 days. So there we had on the mountain the three persons who had observed a 40 days fast. One reason why this gospel is read during Lent. Another is the fact that our Lord was speaking to Moses and Elias about his coming passion. And he was explaining to them how he was going to fulfill their prophecies. How he would perfectly fulfill all the prophecies written of the Messiah insofar as his suffering, death, and eventual resurrection from the dead. And so as we meditate on the Passion of Christ, this gospel reminds us that our Lord had in mind that approaching Passion and fulfilled to the letter all of the prophecies about Him. But I think perhaps an even more cogent reason for reading this gospel during Lent, which at first would seem out of place, is that during the season of Lent, if we are living the spirit of Lent, we are elevated to a higher level in the spiritual life. Our minds, our hearts are lifted up to heavenly things. Imagine the joy of Saints Peter, James, and John, the three chosen apostles that witnessed this wonderful transfiguration where our Lord shone like the sun, His garments became white as snow. They heard the voice of the Heavenly Father, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." What joy must have ravished their hearts. I would imagine that for the rest of their lives, there was not a day that did not go by in which they failed to call to mind the wonderful transfiguration. It sustained them. It motivated them to carry their crosses in the spreading of the gospel, to endure persecution and eventual martyrdom, because they had witnessed the tiniest foretaste of the joys of heaven. And so it motivated them to strive to gain that eternal crown. Just as with St. Paul in the epistle that we read several weeks ago, how he was wrapped up to the third heaven and heard words, secret words that he could not repeat, and experienced just a slight foretaste of the joys of heaven. So the joys of heaven then should animate us during the season of Lent to be faithful to our fasting, our mortification, and penance. The preface for Lent is very instructive. And let me read to you just the first part of the preface. "It is fitting indeed and just, right and helpful to salvation, for us always and everywhere to give thanks to Thee, O Holy Lord, Father Almighty, everlasting God, who by this bodily fast extinguishes our vices, elevates our understanding, bestows on us virtue and reward." So you see, by our fasting, our passions are diminished and our spirit is elevated to a reflection of everlasting things. My dear friends in Christ, if we desire to one day experience the joys of heaven, then we must experience them, as it were, now on this earth in spirit. We must reflect upon our heavenly home, our heavenly destiny, the place that awaits us, so that, as it were, we live in heaven in spirit on this earth. And that desire, that hope of heaven, animates us in carrying our crosses, in obeying the commandments, in living our faith. On the other hand, those who fail to meditate upon heaven, who never think of it, will never enjoy it. Imagine the pain of a captive in prison, chained in prison, and just out of his reach, there is prepared a sumptuous table filled with the most delicious food, the fragrance of which causes him to yearn to have that food, but it is just without his reach. And each day he is given a small portion of bread and water to sustain him in this dungeon. And what perhaps is even worse, the jailer sits down every day at that table and eats the delicious banquet that is prepared every day. But the poor condemned man can only yearn and long for it. Such is the pain of the damned. They reflect upon heaven. Now they think of it all the time, and they cannot attain it. This is what we refer to as the pain of loss. And that is perhaps what Isaiah the prophet referred to when he said, speaking on behalf of God, "You did evil in my eyes, says the Lord, and you have chosen the things that displease me. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, my servants shall eat, and you shall be hungry. Behold, my servants shall drink, and you shall be thirsty. Behold, my servants shall rejoice, and you shall be confounded. Behold, my servants shall praise for joyfulness of heart, and you shall cry for sorrow of heart, and shall howl for grief of spirit." So you see, the pain of the damned is to think of heaven now, all the time, because they failed to meditate upon heaven during their lives. We will either meditate upon heaven, yearn for it, and prepare for it, if we wish to attain it, or by neglecting to prepare for that eternal happiness, we will be condemned to rue our negligence for eternity. How sad it is that so few, even of Catholics, think enough about the joys of heaven. Because if we thought about heaven, it would help to make us less preoccupied with the things of this world. There would be no question of becoming engrossed in material things and earning money and enjoying things of this world. There would be no question of flirting with temptation, placing ourselves in occasions of sin, enjoying questionable amusements. There would be no question of indecency in dress, tight skirts, violations of modesty. There would be no question of breaking one of God's commandments if we thought more of heaven. Perhaps that is our problem. We do not meditate enough on the joys that await us. Without being too tedious, I would like to read a short section from The Imitation of Christ. Speaking of the worldlings, the author says, "O senseless people and infidels at heart, who lie so buried in earthly things as to relish nothing but the things of the flesh, miserable wretches, they will in the end find to their cost how vile a nothing that was which they so much loved. But the saints of God and all the devout friends of Christ made no account of what pleased the flesh or flourished in this life, but their whole hope and intention aspired to eternal goods. Their whole desire tended upwards to things everlasting and invisible. lest the love of visible things should draw them down to things below. If we are living Lent as we should, then we are cutting back on even proper, permissible amusements and enjoyments. We are meditating more on the Passion of Christ. We are doing penance. We are expressing over and over our sorrow for our sins, our contrition. And if we do those things, we will be lifted up to a greater appreciation of spiritual things. We will yearn more for heaven. I have often found this, that individuals will say to a priest at the end of Lent, "When Lent started, I was not looking forward to penance. I was dreading the idea of observing the church fast and my other penances. But now as we approach Easter, it is like I don't want it to end. I have experienced the spiritual joy of a closer union with God, a greater ability to pray and to meditate and to think of spiritual things." And you find this in the lives of the saints. If I may quote once more from The Imitation of Christ, "Oh, that we had nothing else to do but to praise the Lord our God with our whole heart and mouth. Oh, that you did never want to eat nor drink nor sleep, but could always praise God and be employed only in spiritual exercises. You would then be much more happy than now while you are under the burden, the necessity of serving the flesh. Would there were no such necessities, but only the spiritual refreshments of the soul, which, alas, we taste too seldom." So we must feed ourselves, our poor body. We must have sleep and recreation. But as we cut back on those needs of the body a little bit during Lent, our spirit is more elevated. So let us, my dear friends in Christ, let us meditate more upon heaven. Let us yearn more for heaven. Let us in spirit live in heaven on this earth in order that we might enjoy it forever in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.